You shoot me in a dream, you better wake up and apologize.
You can stuff your sorries in a sack, mister.
I'm sorry, I thought this was America.
I'm sorry!
Congratulations, you've unlocked All Apologies, a show about apology tours and demanding satisfaction. I'm your host, Andy Q Public, and with me as always is your co-host, Joe Sixpack. Joe, what's going on?
What's going on, everybody? Andy, the new intro there looks awesome. We put that together. Thanks for doing that, because I hadn't gotten around to it. But we got a saga here today, Andy. Did you need anything before we jump into it, or?
No, I think it's great because this is a contemporary news story that happened recently. So I like being on top of things as they unfold.
Yeah, I will say though, I'm mildly annoyed a little about how the sausage is made. Andy and I record on Sunday, and it really seems like everything that fucking happens on the weekend hits on Monday, and then we have to wait a fucking week before we get a crack at it. So I do find that mildly annoying, and that's what we're dealing with here today. We're going to be talking about Morgan Wallen, and Edzy, if you could do the GMA clip for me here for explanation.
Morgan Wallen, this morning in another mugshot, charged with three counts of felony reckless endangerment and one count of misdemeanor disorderly conduct after police say he threw a chair six stories down from a rooftop bar in Nashville. And police say the chair landed just 3 feet from two of their officers who were working below. Witnesses say they saw him pick up the chair, throw it over him, laughing afterward. He was booked and released on bond early Monday morning, seen here moving between two umbrellas and a waiting vehicle. He has not yet entered a plea. It's not his first time in trouble. In May of 2020, he was arrested and charged with public intoxication and disorderly conduct after getting kicked out of a Nashville bar. Prosecutors later dropped the charges. Later that same year, during the height of the pandemic, Saturday Night Live dropped him as their musical guest after he was seen in TikTok videos ignoring COVID precautions at the time, out partying without a mask and kissing random women. And then in February of 2021, he was caught on video filmed by a neighbor using a racial slur while speaking to a friend after coming home from a night out.
Yeah, that's kind of gives you a bit of a background there. I have.
Apparently, this guy is a fucking problem. And you did mention that the bar that he got kicked out of was Kid Rock's bar.
No, that was a different time. So that's the other thing. Yeah, Andy, to your point, that Kid Rock's bar. No, that is the, let's get to the top here. So this is kind of from Business Insider, if you can see. This is a breakdown of Morgan Wallen's long sad history of being a dickhead.
I just want to say that I've been to Kid Rock's bar when we went to Nashville for WATP, and it's a fucking shit show, like circus freak. Every dildo butt rock fan is there, and I saw one of the worst cover bands I've ever seen just playing Blink 182 and Green Day covers poorly, and it's not a place for cool people. And Morgan Wallen being there like proves it.
Getting kicked out of there is like a feat, like king of the losers, basically.
Yeah. If they're not tolerating you at Kid Rock's bar, you're a problem.
Oh man, that's a massive wound there. So Morgan Wallen gets kicked out of Kid Rock's bar and arrested. Then he bucks COVID protocol and he's making out with random girls on the street here like a pimp.
He's good for uninvited him. To SNL because of that.
Because of this.
And
because
they said he wasn't wearing a mask. He's clearly wearing a mask there.
Here?
That wearing it like that is as effective as wearing it any other way. I don't know what the problem was.
Yeah, look at these massive wounds over here. That's cool. So then he gets kicked out. He's uninvited to SNL. Then he drops out of headlining in Georgia. He ends up doing some fucking thing.
He actually was on SNL. They finally have him back on there.
A referential thing about being a dickhead with Jason Bateman. Good for him. And then what we're talking about today, he's caught on camera by some Karen across the street saying the N-word. And that's what we're going to talk about here. you know, a lot of just downward spiral for a minute here, but he's also like very successful now too. Suspended from his record label. Here's the video we're going to look at, his apology. Then he comes back and does that, and he's keeps performing and he gets bigger and ever. Oh yeah. You know, I've been through a lot and I'm really getting through it. And now I released my new song last night. It's a big hit. Spoiler alert, that song blows. If you like it, you suck.
Such a big hit that I have to throw a chair three stories down at a couple of cops.
And then he let everybody down at some concert minutes before everybody shows up, minutes before the show. They cancel the whole thing, very Axl Rose style. And now that really kind of brings us up. Now he's three felony counts for throwing a chair off of the building there. So
possibly the most famous person to come out of The Voice, right? Winning The Voice means nothing to everyone, right?
Mm-hmm. Name the biggest contestant to win The Voice.
I couldn't name one. I mean, I probably couldn't name this guy if he wasn't in the news for being a shithead.
No, he didn't win it either. So I don't think.
I don't know any winners. Not a single one.
Well, we'll talk about it here in a minute. But so that's what we're talking about. This guy, he came through The Voice, as Andy mentioned there, and oftentimes not winning is better than winning, right? Because you're not like locked into some contract with Carson Daly and fucking Blake Shelton for whatever you have to do. You know, you can like, you got your, you know, 15 minutes and then you're on to negotiate a better contract, basically.
Yeah,
probably. That's probably what better off. Happened with him. He got to grow out his mullet really effectively.
Fucking terrible hair.
Oh my god. I blame Patrick Mahomes for the most part. But so let's get in. So what had happened was, do we have Andy? You did pull the offense. I'll take it.
I have a roundup of that, because
let's do that.
Now that Morgan has fucked up, he has to do what everybody that fucks up the worst does. And
no, hang on.
I'm
sorry, before you do that, but let's just be clear here. We're talking, he is in the news now for throwing the chair off of the bar.
Yeah, he hasn't apologized for that yet.
He accounts for that. That's not what we're covering here. We're covering him saying the N-word.
In 2021.
Being caught saying the N-word back in, like, 2021.
Right.
Just to be clear. Okay.
And now Morgan has to sit down with the arbiter of every fuck-up in the modern world, Michael Strahan. In clip one, this is Strahan taking him to task.
There's going to be a lot of people who are going to watch this interview and say he's only sitting down because he wants to clean up his image. It's all a performance. So what do you say to that?
I understand that, you know. I understand that I'm not ever going to make, you know, everyone happy. I can only come tell my truth, and that's all I know to do.
Yeah. I mean, if you're sitting down with Michael Strahan, you know you fucked up. And I hate this my truth garbage. Just because your perception is your reality doesn't mean it's a fact or the truth. Because I'm sure Marjorie Taylor Greene thinks that earthquakes and eclipses are God's way of telling me to vote for Trump in November. Shove your truth up your lying ass.
He's speaking his truth like a 36-year-old old yogi woman who just got divorced for the third time and is now into crystals, and she wants to share her truth with you. That's the truth that he is sharing.
Yeah. So clip two is some of the TMZ footage of the actual incident. Let's just see how well they cover it, but there's going to be a little more of like a background of like what this is all about.
But in January, neighbors recorded this video obtained by TMZ showing Wallen using a racial slur outside his Nashville home. The music world responded swiftly. Within hours, Wallen was suspended from his label, his songs pulled from the radio and streaming playlists, and he was declared ineligible for the upcoming Academy of Country Music Awards.
oh no, I can't win a country music award. That's what hurts the most. Like, who fucking cares? He had really hoped to take home a valueless trophy for being the most milquetoast, pandering boar fest in the laziest genre of music, pop country. And you can see there, it's bleeped out, but he's out with a white friend and he's yelling, like, take that N-word
bitch
home.
Ass N-word. Yeah.
And some tattletale is videotaping it out of their window from across the second story across the street. So, I mean, that's the incident. But
yeah, I actually thought that the GMA coverage was a little more robust than that, or the part that I had seen of it. You know, they're falling out of a vehicle or whatever, and this is a scenario just. Just to set the stage here for people, I'm not trying to say this is right. Obviously, he's very wrong in this whole thing, but it's not like he was being hateful towards a black person about this. He was like fucking with his friend in a very obviously inappropriate way. But I just want to be clear that he wasn't like this was not like hate speech towards a group of people. He was saying something inappropriate to and about his friend who wouldn't, you know, keep drinking with him or whatever.
You're right though. I mean, it's worth mentioning that he wasn't using the N-word towards a black person. So It could have been even worse. I mean, it's bad, but it could have been a lot worse. And Morgan is going to recount the experience of learning how badly he fucked up when his manager called him in clip 3.
When did you realize that what you had done was a big deal?
My manager called me probably 2 hours before the video came out. You know, he's like, are you sitting down? And no one's ever called me and said that before. I went to one of my friends has a house, you know, out in the middle of nowhere. Just sitting in that house, trying to figure out what it is I'm supposed to do.
All these idiots run in away into the woods and they dig a hole and sit in it in the woods to get away from their problem. We just saw Velveteen Dream do the same thing in the field somewhere. We on the mini episode, if you want to join the Patreon, all patreon.com at all, you know, / all apologies podcast. We covered this D&D dungeon master, Gabe Hicks, fucking up a polyamorous relationship. Somehow he can't figure out how to be poly with a bunch of hot chicks. And he goes and he's apologizing in the middle of the woods somewhere.
This is like
Morgan Wallen.
This is like a Pineapple Express, Andy, where Seth Rogen and James Franco run off into the woods and they just smash their phones in the woods because they're running away from the drug dealers.
Yeah, yeah.
Just go nowhere.
Yeah. He's in some Evil Dead style haunted cabin in the woods. Just put this guy out of his fucking misery. Morgan is going to explain away the use of the word as roast style comedy between friends in clip 4.
Take me back to that night.
I had some of my, you know, longtime friends in town. You know, we'd kind of just been partying all weekend and we figured we'd just go hard for the 2 or 3 days that they were there.
How did this happen? Out of nowhere? You just refer to someone with a racial slur?
No, I don't think it was just, it just happened. You know, I was around some of my friends and you know, we stayed dumb stuff together. It was, in our minds, it's playful. You know, I don't know if that sounds ignorant, but that's really where it came from.
So if he had just said, You take your broke dick husband home because he's not going to satisfy you sexually, you know, this wouldn't be happening. You know, that's the type of joke where you're like, you're a penniless loser because you failed seventh grade. Then, you know, that's the type of thing he's roasting his friend like, except that he went with the N-word instead of anything else of like demeaning your friend. And he was using the N-word to demean a white person. And that's where we're at with this. And that's what Michael Strahan is pointing out to him. He's trying to get to the bottom of this, is that you're using it against a white guy as a way to say that he's less than. And that's Michael Strahan's point, really. Because like, if it's a white guy calling another white guy the N-word doesn't make a whole lot of sense, except for the fact that you think that it's insulting to say that. And it is. It's insulting to everybody to say that. But using it against a white guy like that, in what you're saying is a playful way is...
I don't even think it's so much. Like, I don't think we have anybody who's not just a white guy who's listening to this. If you're not, let me kind of clue you in a little bit. You're white boys are constantly just trying to put their friend, you know, down in the harshest way possible. And in the 90s, it was probably the N-word and F-slur, the R-word. Like, all of your friends were these things, like, in the 90s, okay? And it never necessarily had anything to do with hating a group of people. But what the reason this has all turned or awareness has changed is that, like, what you're doing is saying, oh, well, you suck, and you suck on the level of a black person, or you suck and you suck on the level of a homosexual person, or you suck and you suck on the level of somebody who is mentally challenged. Okay, like, you're degrading somebody in a way that, you know, that we now know is, it's just not acceptable. Okay, so, but he's still, whatever, I don't know where he's fucking from. I mean, all this shit's occurring in Tennessee. People, if you're from some rural state, it takes a long time for these type of things to catch up to you.
But he's still a flyover state full of white people. Yes.
Yeah. What he really said there, what he was really saying was, take this loser home. You know, this guy's a loser, and because he doesn't want to hang out with me anymore. And it's not like he doesn't like his friend anymore, right? But I mean, if we can try and find...
It's that he doesn't like black people.
What?
It's that he doesn't like black people.
Are you joking? Or?
No, I'm not joking.
No, you think he really doesn't like black people because he called his friend the N-word?
Yes.
Oh, I mean, I would be like, it's just like... out of fashion to use that type of thing. I think if you
it's gonna come back into fashion, you think?
No, at one point you could get away with it. You can't get away with it anymore.
Right.
But if you take in or are a fan of hip hop or black culture in any way, you'll hear that all the time. Like, we've talked about Cypress Hill. What it boils down to is, you're not black. You don't get to say that, you know, right. Like, I still, like, even after covering this, I turned it on and it was just like this guy being like, and, you know, a black guy, you know, talking about his friends or coworkers or whatever. And he's just like, end this, end that, end this. You still hear it constantly. I've talked about leveling up before, right? And like, Morgan Wallen needs to level up. But I also think like society needs to level up beyond that word now, because most people know that it's unacceptable to say that now, but it's still very prevalent. It's white entrapment, really, that it's still so prevalent in black culture that you're tricked into thinking that you can somehow get away with it when you really can't. And it really should just, like, I wish, like, black culture and hip hop and things like that would, like, just phase it out, because I really do think society has come to a point where if you did, like, just moratorium, like, just say we're done with this, I think you could, like, eliminate it, like, in a fairly real way. I would hope. I don't know if that's true. But I would hope.
People are still going to think that they're edgy for using it, though. You know, people with a head on their shoulders will never use it, and people that think that it's cute because you're saying something that you're not supposed to say. All of these kids now, like the I rewatch iCarly girls running to make 9/11 jokes constantly. They think it's the same as the Titanic and the Hindenburg. It is that to them because they didn't live through it, you know? So yeah,
it is
there's
funny.
Always going to be shock value humor that anybody that's trying to be edgy like that is going to throw the N-word out there, even though everybody knows that it's completely insensitive and, you know, outside of mainstream culture. And that's what Michael Strahan is going to try and point out to Morgan in clip 5.
And it's wrong.
And had there been no video of the incident, we obviously wouldn't be sitting here right now. This is not the first time you said the word. This is the word that you use frequently amongst your friends.
I wouldn't say frequently. No, not frequently. It was just around this certain group of friends, I would say.
In what way was it used?
You know, it's one of my best friends. We were all clearly drunk, and I was asking his girlfriend to take care of him because he was drunk and he was leaving. I didn't mean it in any derogatory manner at all.
Right. If the N-word falls in the forest, Joe, and a black guy isn't around to hear it, is it still racist? Dude. But that's what he was saying. He was saying what you were saying. We were tying one on, and we were listening to Cypress Hill a lot, and I got a real Be Real vibe going, and you know how it is, Michael. That's
dude,
basically what he was saying.
I'm not sure I've ever seen Michael Strahan so like upset to be talking to a person, or like he looks like he wants to leap out of the chair and beat the shit out of him.
I know he's leaning into
this is the first time Michael we've seen Michael Strahan have this conversation before with somebody, right? Or
about the N-word? He's definitely
interviewed. I don't think so. Well, he's definitely, we've definitely had clips of
him. We covered him with Logan Paul about the Suicide Forest. And then we covered him with Billy McFarlane about
the Fire Fest guy. That must be what
we haven't seen this version of Michael Strahan.
So we've seen him interview people about their failings, but we've never seen him talking to somebody about racial inequality or the N-word or anything like that. And something what I can see is he looks like he wants to tear this kid's head off.
Well, Michael also wants to know why Morgan would think it's cool to run around screaming the N-word across the whole neighborhood in clip 6.
There are a lot of people going to say, okay, we've been drunk, we never used the word. Even when you're drunk, there are certain things you do and you don't do. What made you think that the word was ever appropriate to use?
I'm not sure. I think I was just ignorant about it. I don't think I sat down and was like, hey, is this right or is this wrong?
And do you know the history of the word?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Morgan's history with the word is his grandfather screaming it at the TV every time the Cosby Show came on. It's his dad watching their favorite football team lose on Sunday. And his dad being upset about the score. That's Morgan's history with the N-word, allegedly. I'm assuming, but he doesn't have the same experience that Michael Strahan has with the N-word, obviously. Mm-hmm. So I usually shit all over Strahan for being, you know, ineloquent with the lisp, but I have to give him credit with this one here because he breaks this down for an ignorant redneck pretty well in clip 7.
I've heard some stories in the initial conversations that I had after that, just how some people are, you know, treated even still today.
Watch his face.
I haven't seen that with my eyes, that pain or that insignificant feeling or whatever it is that it makes you feel.
That goes back to slavery used by white people to dehumanize black people and make them feel less than. It's also, I think if you dig deeper, a word that a lot of black people heard before they were terrorized, beaten, or even possibly killed. So it's a word that really, I've been called it, makes you mad, makes you angry, doesn't make you feel good at all.
You can see the look on Morgan's face. He's just, oh, thank you for explaining that point of view that has never occurred to me before. It must be weird for somebody with all of the privilege to wrap their brain around having none of that privilege. That's that look on Morgan's face. He's just like, oh, I never thought of it that way, Michael. Thank you for explaining racism to me.
I don't know. I don't know how you can be like, I found it preposterous when Strahan's like, do you know the history of the word? It's like, how could you not? You know, like,
well, he didn't even bring up slavery. It didn't come out of his mouth.
Right. Yeah.
I'm sure he doesn't want to bring it up, but
I mean, I don't know what I'm trying to say with this, but it's, I admire Michael Strahan's wherewithal to be like, well, maybe he just doesn't even know. Like, maybe this generation is just so far removed from, like, American history that, like, he legitimately doesn't even understand what he's saying.
Yeah.
And I think that it's like very, or I don't know if it's derogatory to be like, this dumb white kid doesn't know anything, or if it's like very generous of him to be like, maybe he just doesn't even know.
That's
dumbfounding.
Well, that's to my point. Like, he's never been put in a position to have to bother to know.
Right.
Yeah.
No, but I understand, like, thinking that Morgan Wallen is so stupid that that's the case. But I also find it admirable for Michael Strahan to even, like, start from that position, because usually you would just be like, fucking racist cracker, you know, default. You know, of course this country fucking cracker is racist. Of course.
Right.
That's where I would have started.
Okay. But Morgan wants us to know that he's consulted his spiritual leaders or some shit, and he went to a high-end resort that has all of the amenities except a fully stocked bar to think about what he's done in clip 8.
Who do you speak with?
BMAC is one of the first organizations that I spoke with, the Black Music Action Coalition. I spoke with Kevin Lyles, I spoke with Eric Hutcherson, with B.B. Winans is another one that I spoke with. I went and checked myself into rehab. And for 30 days, I spent some time out in San Diego, California. You know, just trying to figure it out. Why am I acting this way? Do I have an alcohol problem? Do I have a deeper issue?
I'm sure it was.
You do.
Really? Yeah, I'm sure it was really hard getting a deep tissue massage after eating a nice breakfast of French toast before you got in the hot tub and thought about what label you were going to sign with after this all blows over. Yeah. Way to go to rehab.
In a perfect 77-degree San Diego climate. Yeah, it was real difficult.
Right. But at this point, let's pivot into your clip packet. I have a couple more that we'll come back to, but let's get into the actual talking to the camera apology video that everybody has to do when they fuck up.
Yeah, so we've mentioned it here. Like, so Morgan ran off into the woods. This looks like he's in some shanty hiding out. He's trying to find some peace of mind by going hunting and fishing. But he took a minute to record this video for everyone. And in my clip one, he had no time to think about this.
I was made aware of the video being posted to TMZ with hardly any time to think before it was released to the public. I was asked if I wanted to apologize, and of course I did. I wrote many detailed thoughts, and only a portion of those got used, which painted me in an even more careless light. I'm here to hopefully show you that that's not the truth.
Yeah, I wrote many thoughts, but mostly they just said, fuck you, fuck this, and then it was just like the N-word over and over again, like in The Shining. So he's got his apology wall there. You know, he's very set up. I will note, this is very, an army of PR people have assembled this statement for him.
That, you think that the PR people didn't maybe go, hey, maybe just wear like a nice polo instead of something that you would wear to lynch a Black guy? What is he wearing? Why are you dressed like you're whatever? You just got back from duck hunting.
Yeah, no, they were fishing all morning, and they're gonna go shoot some fucking clay pigeons next. And he just like, give me a minute here. I gotta make this fucking video real quick. In my clip two, this is I call this one hour 72.
The video you saw was me on hour 72 of 72 of a bender, and that's not something I'm proud of either. Obviously, the natural thing to do is to apologize further and just continue to apologize, but because you got caught, and that's not what I wanted to do.
Yeah, if I just keep apologizing, this will all be okay. No, not really how that works. A 72-hour bender is fucking crazy, by the way. And we talked about, like, this long said, the guy clearly has, like, an alcohol problem to the point where all this is old news. Like we're doing this because he just chucked a fucking steel chair off of a six-story building and almost killed somebody. Like, the dude needs help. 30 days in San Diego or whatever fucking, you know, half-assed rehab effort you've made is not cutting it. The dude clearly has a problem.
Getting caught is not what I wanted to do. Yeah, we know.
Yeah. Of course, I just want to just keep apologizing and apologizing because I got caught. Yeah, well, we know, dude. Yeah, I mean, Andy and I have seen this act before at this point.
I feel like, for God's sake, I hate that our show is just like N-words and pedophiles, the show. That's like all we're talking about now.
N-words, pedophiles, and I cheated on my significant other. It's all we talk about. Okay, so in clip three here, Morgan let people down.
I let so many people down. And who mean a lot to me and who have given so much to me, and it's just not fair. I let my parents down. And they're the furthest thing from the people, from the person in that video. I let my son down. And I'm not okay with that.
Yeah, your two-year-old son doesn't get let down, okay? Unless you turn Cocomelon off, okay? He's fine. Like, that's just, once again, like, this is PR people, like, oh, tell him you're a dad, tell him you have a kid, like, everything, like, tug on the heartstrings. It's just, like, this is complete bullshit. And also, like, this guy is the poster child of fucking white privilege, by the way, as far as, like, drunken fuck up. I got kicked out of Kid Rock's fucking place. Oh, maybe be a little self-reflective and say, maybe I shouldn't drink that much. Okay. Oh, I'm out on the fucking town. I'm out during COVID doing whatever the fuck I want. And I've lost fucking business, lost management, like got fucking penalized by my record label, got kicked off Saturday Night Live. Oh, no, go about my business. Another fucking DWI or whatever fucking happens. Like, he's had multiple fucking run-ins with the law over alcohol. But now here we are, and you clearly have an issue with alcohol. Clearly. Anyway.
Usually, you know how we do it on WATP, we say that kid sounds like a loser, but this might be the first instance of me telling that kid that his dad is a loser.
In my clip four here, personal hurt.
So this week I've been waiting to say anything further until I got the chance to apologize to those closest to me that I knew I personally hurt. I also accepted some invitations from some amazing black organizations, some executives and leaders to engage in some very real and honest conversations. I'll admit to you, I was pretty nervous to accept those invitations.
I RSVP'd no.
Why would you be nervous about meeting with black folks about screaming the N-word? I don't understand. Now, to give him the smallest amount of credit, like I said before, like Michael Strahan looks like he wants to tear his goddamn head off. It does take a bit of courage to at least sit down with folks and have these conversations. So I will give him a small amount of credit for doing that. But also, just to clarify, he didn't personally let down anyone. He embarrassed himself. I think it's important to note, we talked about it before, that this was him ribbing his friend and slinging. He's not slinging hate speech at African Americans, right? Was it wrong? Yes. Hateful? No. I don't say, like, he wasn't throwing this out there with hate at somebody.
It's ignorance of the meaning of using the word. It's ignorance of the origin of the word and what the impact of that the word has on people when you they whatever that aren't in your friend group when they hear it, you know.
Right. Right. I love talking about Maya Angelou's, like, people forget what you said and they'll forget what you did, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. And this is a like how he's making black people feel. So he's not evil, but he's ignorant and addicted to fucking substances. So fuck this guy. In clip five,
if he gets sober and educates himself, will you give him a second chance?
Sure. You know me, Andy. I give Michael Vick a second chance. A second chance.
I know.
Andy, clip five, get out your bingo card.
The very people I hurt, and they had every right to step on my neck while I was down to not show me any grace, but they did the exact opposite. They offered me grace, and they also paired that with an offer to learn and to grow. And I'll be honest, you know, that kindness really inspired me to dig deeper.
Yeah, learning and growing and meeting with community leaders. Morgan's PR team has the script. You know,
you got to just get. We have to put those on the board as drops. Like Jake Paul learning and growing, and Chris Brown meeting with his spiritual leaders. Those should definitely be on my drop board. I apologize for not having that, but I do have this.
I'll eat the shit. I don't care.
Don't cry,
please. I'll eat the entire hunk of shit. That's
drop the Olivia Jade one.
I'm just sorry for being a freaking idiot.
I like that one. excuse me. In clip six, words matter.
And one thing I've learned already is I'm specifically sorry for is that it matters. My words matter. A word can truly hurt a person. And at my core, that's not what I'm okay with. This week, I heard firsthand some personal stories from black people that honestly shook me. And I know what I'm going through this week doesn't even compare to some of the trials I heard about from them. I came away from those discussions with a deep appreciation for them and a clearer understanding of the weight of my words.
And I told them when they flash mob an outlet mall or a Walgreens and just fill their bags and walk out without paying to zero repercussions, that is okay, because I called my friend the N-word when he said I was going to go home instead of do another tequila shot with me. So I've heard some bad stories.
I'd like to think that was true, that somebody changed his mind a little bit, at least. But I don't know. For the most part, he's a
crazy ass cracker.
Well, what I really want to see is after the cameras cut between him and Strahan and what that conversation was. Like if you had a making of, you know, documentary where there's like a camera next to the camera and it's just like, okay, cut, we got the interview. Michael, did you have anything you'd like to say to Morgan after this? And Michael Strahan's like a mile down the road. Fuck this guy.
Yeah, I'm sure. Good.
In my clip seven call, I called this the circumstances.
I wish the circumstances were different for me to learn these things, but I'm also glad it started the process for me to do so. I've got many more things to learn, but I already know that I don't want to add to any division. This week was a big lesson that sometimes we can do just that without even knowing it. Our actions matter, our words matter, and I just want to encourage anyone watching to please learn from my mistake.
My actions of drinking for 72 hours straight and the piss drunk words I spoke, well, don't be like me, son. I'm a victim of circumstance. Oh, and I have a long, sad history of abusing alcohol and not being held accountable for my slobbering actions. I'm a fucking dickhead. Fuck him. Idiot.
Of course words matter. You're a songwriter, you idiot.
Great point. Words matter. No, God, no. His music sucks, by the way. Like, It is the pop punk or like the pop country shit that, you know,
if you dislike country, this is the music you dislike.
Yeah, and I said that.
I didn't find any
up front. It's the worst kind of music.
It's terrible.
Did you see Chris Stapleton on SNL?
No.
Go watch Chris Stapleton if you want to know what good music is.
Was this recent?
Yeah, it was on this Saturday night.
Oh, okay. I will check it out. I conflated the two stories because I had seen Sturgill Simpson on Saturday Night Live, which is a great performance, by the way. Go check it out. But I thought this whole story of Morgan Wallen was Sturgill Simpson, like, because I think this story came out very close to Sturgill Simpson's performance on Saturday Night Live. So I was just like, oh, Sturgill Simpson's like a fucked up racist or something like that. And then I'm like, oh, God, but I like some of his music. So me finding out that it's Morgan Wallen, I'm just like, oh, this is great. I can fucking like Sturgill Simpson again without feeling bad about it.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's done fucking tons of horrible shit too. Anyway.
Sturgill Simpson's done nothing wrong.
Let's not drink Sturgill Simpson.
Keep Sturgill out of your mouth.
In clip 8, not the man I want to be.
There's no reason to downplay what I did. It matters, and please know I'm carefully choosing my next steps in repair. I want to end this update, hopefully on a more positive note. Since that video was taken, I've been sober for 9 days. It's not all that long of a time, but it's enough to know the man in that video is not the man that I'm trying to be.
And yet here we are, you know, like once again, we're covering this for a reason.
Yeah,
I think if we can further celebrate some of Morgan's achievements, he did not yell the N-word while throwing the chair off of the roof of the restaurant. So baby steps. Good job. You know,
he yelled it before he threw it off.
He yelled Wu-Tang and then threw it off. Okay, in clip 9, I called this one time to think.
I've had this week to think about times when I'm sober. And I'm really proud of who I am and my actions for the most part in those moments.
Oh, good for you.
When I look on the times that I'm not, it seems to be where the majority of my mistakes are made.
Well, while drinking,
I decided to go off the grid for a little while and get used to making good decisions.
As I drink, look, I
want my team, my family, my friends, and even strangers to trust me.
I'm not even yelling the N-word.
Is that Bud Light Platinum? Are you tying one on King Cobra style?
This was leftover. I was doing black and tans for the eclipse, and I had a harp leftover that I was mixing with Guinness.
What eclipse? The eclipse wasn't real. In New York State,
the eclipse was a psyop.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm gonna go off the grid where I can yell all the slurs I want, throw what I want, fuck what I want. That's why I'm dressed like this. I wish I was off the grid right now. Right? Yeah. I'm just going to dress like I'm off the grid. And then that's an excuse for me to just do whatever I want. Let's see here. What's Ed saying? Oh, Ed's saying I don't have Bud Light Platinum money.
Yeah, you don't have
whatever leftover bag of beers I have is what I'm drinking.
You don't have goth freak show money.
In my clip 10, who knows?
Who knows if I'll be able to live down all the mistakes I made, but I'm certainly going to try. I'm going to spend some time taking back control of my habit, living healthy, and being proud of my actions. And lastly, I have one favor to ask. I appreciate those who still see something in me and have defended me, but for today, please don't. I was wrong. It's on me. Take ownership for this. And I fully accept any penalties I'm facing. The timing of my return is solely upon me and the work I put in. I still had a lot of really good people in my corner trying to help me, and I appreciate them more than you know. I appreciate you more than you know.
Andy, I have one small favor to ask. Let's take a moment of silence to recognize all the folks that were victims of slavery and racial inequality. Take a moment. Okay, now that we've solved racism, we can move on to more important topics.
Yeah. Check out my new single. I hate everybody, especially N-words.
Don't defend me today, right now. After you watch this video, keep defending me then. All right, thanks, Morgan. We'll do that. In clip 11, Morgan needs Jesus.
This entire situation is ugly right now, but I'll keep searching for ways to become the example instead of being made one. In closing, I'm not trying to be a holy roller or anything, but this week I remembered a passage from Paul that always stood out to me, and I'm thinking maybe a moment like this is why. In 1 Corinthians 13:11, it says, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child, thought like a child, reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways."
Yeah, Morgan gave up childhood.
Not the quote.
I'm sorry to cut you off, Joe. You keep Jesus out of your goddamn mouth.
If we know anything about Ed, it's that he loves Jesus. Morgan gave up childish ways. He grew up, got shit hammered drunk, and tried to kill cops by hucking a chair off a 6-story building. We all have to grow up sometime, I guess.
Fucking guy. He did say, "Don't defend me," you know, to his fans. So his fans decided that they wouldn't vocally defend him, but they wouldn't support him verbally. But what they did do was support him financially. So just in case you think that this interview that Michael is conducting is getting through to Morgan and they're worried about like this and Morgan is like worried about what might happen, get ready to be fucking disgusted in my clip 9.
In the 9 days following the release of the video, downloads of Wallen's album skyrocketed by 500%. And that album has spent 24 weeks as number one on the top country album charts.
Right. So he got dropped by his label and blocked from award shows. But all the bubbas across the middle America are just start throwing Confederate gold at him. And he's just like, celebrities are just like us, Jethro. I use the N-word in my wedding vows. Let's give Morgan more money.
Yeah, and only it's just I'm watching the video there and somebody's handing him a beer. And country music is just so ingrained with alcohol, like bourbon and fucking Bud Light and everything. Like, it's just like if you took away booze and trucks, they'd have nothing to fucking talk about.
Yeah, right. But I guess Morgan, to his credit, does recognize how fucked up that is, and he tried to pay it forward in a constructive way.
Since then, my album was already doing well. It was already being well received by critics and by fans. Me and my team noticed that whenever this whole incident happened, that there was a spike in my sales. So we tried to calculate what the number of how much it actually spiked, you know, from this incident. And we got to a number somewhere around $500,000. And we decided to donate that money to some organizations, BMAC being the first one.
Andy, it was $8,800 that they donated.
Yeah. Yeah. I maybe would have doubled it, Morgan, just to, maybe like make an impact, but try not to call it reparations when you're explaining it to your friends later.
That's just embarrassing too. Like, by the way, that amount.
But my point is just that for a guy who's a millionaire, maybe you could up it up, double it. Like, that's what you do. You take whatever everybody earned in the charity, and then you contribute that same amount of your own money. I mean, yeah. This was all of his own money, but just sweeten the pot for fuck's sake.
You used to hear Howard Stern talk about tipping a lot. You know, like everyone, like what am I supposed to tip? Like, what's an acceptable tip? And you just don't. 90% of the conversations that I ever heard him talk about it was just like he's just like dramatically over tipping always because God forbid
you just come off looking like a cheapskate or like looking like somebody who, you know, we all know you've got the money, right? Like, so, and that's what's happening to him here is like five. Great. Good job, Morgan. Thanks for doing that. But no, here's a conspiracy theory that I'm just going to invent for you right now is that the government is devaluing the dollar. This whole inflation and the cost of everything is all going up, up, up. And that's all in an effort to bring down the amount of reparations that they'll have. It's just, it's going to be the equivalent of handing out $5 bills, fuck it, at the end of the day, because the value of the dollar is meaningless now. Yeah. And then the second they get past that, oh, the economy's fixed.
Here's a $5 bill and a $5 foot long. We're square. Okay, the last clip from the interview, Michael wants to know if Morgan thinks that there is a race problem in country music. You might be shocked to learn the answer.
So do you believe there is a race problem in country music overall?
I mean, it would seem that way. Yeah. You know, I haven't really sat and thought about that.
What's to think about? There's a race problem in every single facet of American culture. So it's a pretty easy answer for a guy that's screaming slurs in public, but don't think too long and hard about it, Morgan.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Willie Nelson sitting here going, leave me out of this, dickhead. Is there a problem with racism in country music? Yeah, everywhere. Every single person here is a racist. No, you this is you, dude. Yeah, is there a problem in country music? Oh, yeah, everyone. Me and him, everybody, come over here. We're all racist, right? No, dude.
Not every artist, just in the genre. Just, you know, in the genre of country music. How many? Clearly black. Because there's a new artist, a black female artist that just came out with a country. I can't remember her name. They featured her in the thing.
I saw a clip of that. She was killing it. I thought, I'm like, oh, I like this.
Yeah, Beyonce's album is shit though. Fuck Beyonce.
That's a gimmick.
Off already.
I'm not buying it.
No Diddy.
No doubt.
You said you have a couple clips to wrap up this.
I think I know where this all started because he got his start on The Voice, right?
Story of my life, I give her hope. Spend her love until she's broke inside. The story of my life.
That fucking Adam Levine's face there at the end. I think he looks, kind of like Drake Bell in that clip a little bit. Where's Brian Peck when you need him? Morgan is competing against his own team member in that clip. And the captain of the team, it's Team Usher, and Usher had to make a choice.
For the winner of this battle, I pick Stevie Joe.
Stevie Joe moves on to the playoffs representing Team Usher.
So Scabby Crockett went with Furio from The Sopranos over Morgan Wallen, and Morgan's head it just went N-word on repeat after that, and that should have been the last we saw of Morgan Wallen, but
here we are.
Morgan, Morgan, Morgan,
so fucking Adam Levine jumps timelines and makes Morgan Wallen a country star. Hey, hashtag fist bump so white. That was the worst fucking fist bump I ever saw. Fuck Adam Levine and Morgan Wallen and their fucking fist bump. Thanks a lot, dickhead.
Now fuck that. Fuck you. Fuck that. Look at him. He's nothing, guys. Piece of shit.
Dude, need we say more? Do you have any other verdicts that you'd like to drop on?
Fuck all that.
If any judge worth a fucking damn gets this case and looks at his history, they're going to throw the fucking book at him. Yeah. And he deserves it. And sometimes taking somebody like this to task is the only way for them to make a serious change in their life. And I hope he gets help. I do hope he gets help. I hope he learns how to write better songs too, because his music sucks ass.
Yeah. He's a triple threat, Joe. One felony charge per threat. But I want to mention in the back half of the show that I need to apologize for seemingly fucking up the upload for the King Cobra episode last week. I got a few messages that I uploaded the mini into the main feed. And then I went and checked on Spotify. It's the proper upload. But if you're listening to this week and you didn't get to hear, well, somehow on Apple, maybe the mini is still living on Apple. If you can find the King Cobra episode on Spotify for sure. So I would recommend that. And it's a hilarious episode. And I had to add this to the board.
I want to apologize for being born.
One of my new favorite drops from my new favorite episode, King Cobra JFS. Yeah. So
you disrespect the king by not uploading it properly.
Yeah, it, you can find it if you really try. Maybe I'll do like another upload of it to make sure people find it. Or you know where you can find it? On our Patreon at patreon.com/allapologiespodcast. Please consider joining our Patreon. There's a bonus content of King Cobra on there. If you want more King Cobra, there's
two episodes of King Cobra. Is that not incentive enough?
We might have to do a third. I don't know. Wouldn't that be fun? But yeah, there's all kinds of other topics and things on the mini, and we have more plans for the Patreon. So please support the show that way. And if you don't want to support the show financially, consider supporting it for free on Instagram. Follow there.
Andy, good point. Well, because if you're on Patreon right now, you may not follow our YouTube channel. So maybe if this might be the exact place where I implore people to follow or subscribe to the YouTube channel, because until we have 1,000 followers, it really limits our ability on YouTube to like go live. You know, we would love to be doing like live shit on YouTube and things like that. But without that number, you know, there's a barrier to entry on YouTube. So please go subscribe over on YouTube if you haven't already.
Right. I see a good amount of downloads when I look at the hosting analytics. So if you're only downloading the show in one place, maybe join the YouTube channel. Please follow the Instagram account. And if you are listening to this wherever you listen to podcasts, please rate and review the show. That's always good for the show.
Also, let me
Let me fucking wrap up the show.
No. Let me toot your horn and give you a little credit. You just did the Twitch stream with Kaylee.
Yeah. Thursday matinee.
Thursday matinee. Plug that.
Well, we're going to start doing a movie watch along on Twitch. And I think we are going to start recording those and putting them on the Patreon as well. So if you're unable to catch the show live on Twitch, you'll be able to find it if you subscribe to the Patreon. So
yeah,
very excited about that. I think we're going to do
a lot of things and a lot of plans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're gonna do probably another one sooner than I think we said we're gonna do it the second Thursday of each month, but I think we're gonna do a little more frequently just to drive awareness of the show. So be on the lookout for, and again, you can find, well, I'll be plugging it on our Instagram, so you'll know if you want to come check out what Kaylee's up to on the Thursday matinee show. That'll all be plugged on the All Apologies Podcast Instagram account as well. So I'm Andy Q Public for Joe Sixpack saying,
sorry.